Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. I'm excited to welcome our next guest, Taylor Kaiser, to the podcast. Taylor is a wife, faith-based fat loss coach, trainer, and nutritionist. She's passionate about the three F's to guide in your life: food, faith, and fitness. Today, we're going to get some common client questions answered surrounding different diets, how to boost your metabolism, and what people at different ages should be eating for their bodies. We're also going to discuss some of the things that Taylor is passionate and educated about, which is the mental barriers that surround weight loss and how to break through from them. So welcome to the podcast,
Taylor.
Thanks.
I'm so pumped to be here.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your background and what guided you into the world of nutrition.
Yeah. So I started with very, I guess, not so healthy means to trying into the healthy space. I actually started out with an eating disorder when I was 11, actually. I was hospitalized. I missed a bunch of school. I was actually told I was going to die. It was pretty bad. It started from wanting to be skinny and pretty, you know, how all things start with women. Mm-hmm. And then I recovered from that throughout my high school years. And then throughout my 20s, kind of hit again and kind of got back into not as much, like not so sick where I was in the hospital, but just like that obsession with food, the kind of rules around food, all these things. And that's when I started, you know, I thought I was healthy. So I started to get into the space of health and fitness. I wanted to be a trainer and I wanted to be a nutritionist. And then as I kind of healed from that, it changed into, I still want to help women reach their goals, but I don't want them to go through what I went through. So kind of changing them to help with the mindset and that kind of thing, like you mentioned in your little intro there.
Yeah. And I think that aligns so much with what we're about at Burn Bootcamp, because yes, it is a workout, but and more importantly, it's about creating that mental health as well. And there are so many pressures, I think, put on women today with, and it has been in the past. You know, I think we are seeing a little bit of progress, right?
Yes.
But certainly I know growing up for myself, my mom was always on a diet, and then therefore I was constantly looking at magazine ads that, of course, had just beautiful women with six packs and no cellulite. So it did really shape our expectation of what a woman should look like and what we should look like. But I love what you're about, because it really does align with the mission at Burn Bootcamp that you don't need to be so restrictive. And there's other aspects of health than just the number on the scale and what you see in the reflection of the mirror. So I know we're going to talk a little bit about some of that stuff today. But, you know, I appreciate your openness about your long-term struggle with an eating disorder. Do you think that, you know, there's people out there that obviously are probably struggling with that same thing, but they're so afraid to get help or even to just admit it and talk about it. Mm-hmm. Is there any advice you would give somebody that's listening that deep down knows they're having some struggles around eating?
Yeah, like I think you said, like, it's really important to admit it to yourself, because I think for a long time I didn't want to. And I just, like, for lack of a better term, I got tired of my own crap. And I was like, I need to admit this to myself and I need to move on. And I think something that also really held me back is, like I mentioned, like, I thought I was being really healthy. You know, I was eating the healthy food. I was going to the gym all the time. But then when I found out, like, I had no hormones, I lost my period for a decade. Like, I think it's really important to realize that what you're actually doing isn't healthy. So you say that you're trying to live this healthy lifestyle, but you're actually kind of like a walking hypocrite or walking contradiction, because you're not being healthy. And then also just to realize that it is possible to be free. I'm free and I live in a healthy, fit body. You know, being free and recovering from food obsessions doesn't mean that you just gain a bunch of weight and just eat cookies all day long. And I think sometimes there's like a black and white thinking of, like, it's either I must be super restrictive or I'm going to be, like, you know, on the complete other side. And there's a beautiful gray area that I think is really possible to achieve. Mm-hmm.
And how would you describe you are free from it, right? Like, you mentioned that, like, now I'm free of this restriction. Talk to us about what that means for you, or some of the people that, you know, you work with.
Yeah, so I think it just means like food doesn't consume my life anymore. I still love to eat and I love to make healthy choices, but I'm not thinking about what's for lunch when I'm eating breakfast. I'm not like constantly obsessing about what I'm putting in my body. If I want to eat a cookie that's not like a paleo, keto, whatever cookie, like normal person cookie, I eat it and I move on. There's no like guilt or shame. Food choices aren't based around those things. I do sometimes maybe not eat the cookie because it doesn't, you know, serve my goals, but I don't.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because I hate my body and I like myself the way I look in the mirror. Maybe I want to change the way I look, but it's not because I think it's going to make me happier. I just will like the way I look better, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. I think there's that, like you said, that black and white, even of what an eating disorder is, right? Like, yes. I think we grew up saying it's either anorexia or bulimia, but there can be other variations of disordered eating. And that's where you're trapped, right? Inside of this mindset of food and calories in and calories out and obsessive, right? And I would put myself even in that category. But at the time, of course, it wasn't anorexia and it wasn't bulimia. So I thought, I'm just trying to be really healthy and I'm trying to be really disciplined. But now that I look back, like when you say you're eating breakfast and you're thinking about what you're going to have for lunch, like that it consumed me. And so if that's happening, if you're listening to this and you feel like food is consuming you and you're constantly judging what you eat by how you look, I would say that we definitely want, this is what we want to talk about, right? This is what we want to help you with, is there's a better life out there of just not being obsessed over the food that you put into your body.
Yeah. Like I said, it doesn't mean that you can't have body goals or anything. I hate that term, but like it doesn't, like physique improvements, but it doesn't, you don't obsess about it. It doesn't bring you, like make you happy or to look a certain way. Just
yeah. And I also think it's important for us to say that I'm certainly not shaming the people out there that do want to count their calories or count their macros if that's what works for them and they feel like they can do it in a freeing lifestyle, right? Where it's not consuming them. Hey, that's okay. If you're trying to reach goals and that's how you best know how to do it, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's just when you take it to that next level and you're unhappy about it.
I actually track my macros when I'm in like a phase of like muscle building or like trying to lose weight. When I'm maintaining, I don't. But I don't do it in a way that consumes my life. If I can't do it for a day because my husband wants to go out, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there's a way to do it without becoming crazy about it.
Yeah. So there is so many diets out there, so many ways to eat, right? You've mentioned paleo, you've mentioned keto. I know there's vegan, there's, you know, Weight Watchers, there's so many diets, right? And this is nothing new. This has just been generation upon generation of quick fixes and diets that we feel like we have to follow to a T. And we hear someone else had success on it, so we try to do it ourselves. So let's talk a little bit about a couple of those. You know, I think specifically I get a lot of questions around being vegan or going meatless. So I'd love for you as a nutritionist to talk to us about what that style of eating, do we need to be doing it, or is there pros, is there cons, and what are they?
So I'm not a fan of the vegan vegetarian movement. Like, I understand like people don't want to do it for like ethical reasons, like cool, like that's your prerogative. I am a meat eater because I really believe, one, that protein is super important for our bodies, especially if you want to build muscle, which is important for metabolism, which I know we're going to talk about later. And yes, you can get protein from plant-based sources, but it's way harder. Like, when I have a plant-based client, we have to lower their protein a lot or else they just can't hit it. Plus, animal proteins are really, really important for the building blocks of women's hormones. So if we want our bodies to function well and feel good and sleep better and have energy and like reach our goals, hormonal balance is really important for that. And animal proteins specifically, not just proteins from chickpeas or, you know, beans or whatever, lentils, are very important. So if a lot of women are, you know, going vegan out there just for health reasons, and it's actually hurting their health. So like I said, you know, ethical reasons aside, I definitely don't think it's really a healthy diet, in all honesty.
Yeah, and I know actually a lot of people that went vegan and they're actually in a worse place than they were. And I know we're not going to get into why, but they thought it was healthy, right? So they did it, but then they've had some long-term effects where it actually hurt their metabolism, hurt their hormones, like you said. And so now they've obviously slowly started to reintroduce animal protein back in. and they're seeing some of those changes. So I think it just goes to show that don't jump on a fad or a phase mm-hmm. just because we're being bombarded with that. You know, like really do your research and understand that, you know, if it's guaranteeing some sort of quick fix, most likely it's not the route to go, because there really isn't a quick fix. It's truly changing lifestyle habits over time. So, you know, we talk about metabolism, and you said that if you are vegan, this can have an impact on the women's metabolism. So what is one way that women could identify if they have a slow metabolism? I think mm-hmm. like maybe just some guidance there of like what they should be looking out for, and then how could they boost it if they think they have a low metabolism?
Yes, there's a couple. I mean, there's more than one way. I'll give a couple little tips. So if you're always cold all the time, low body temperature. I know a lot of women don't take their morning body temperature. It's called their basal body temperature, which is like your temperature when you first wake up before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. But if it's pretty low, like lower than 97.5, it's a pretty good indicator that your metabolism is slow. If you feel like you can't process carbs every time you eat carbs, like if you gain weight looking at a cupcake, pretty good sign that your metabolism is slow. Lack of energy, if you sleep horribly, any kind of missed periods, or like, you know, no periods, or just kind of like a weird cycle, like unpredictable. Yeah, those are some kind of telltale signs that you probably need to work on that. And then in terms of boosting it, so like we said, protein is the most metabolically active nutrient, meaning it takes the most calories to burn protein. So you want to get your protein in there, so it helps your metabolism boost. Strength train helps you to build muscle, and your muscle is more metabolically active than fat, meaning it burns more calories at rest. And also to sleep and manage your stress, because when we're stressed, we release a hormone called cortisol, mm-hmm. which is a stress hormone, and it actually suppresses metabolic function. So a lot of women are running around their crazy stress, or stressing themselves out about their diet, or going to the gym, and they're just actually lowering their metabolism. So it's kind of like it's doing the opposite thing that you want it to do.
Yeah. So if you don't mind, I want to ask, and I'm sure that you're going to say this is a different answer for every person, but I get asked the question so often, how much protein should a female really be consuming, right? And so mm-hmm. I've heard 1 gram per pound of body weight, or 0.8 or 1.2. So I know for me, like, it depends on what type of phase I'm in, right? Like if I'm trying to build muscle, I'll eat more protein. I'll kind of do 1.2 times my body weight.
Yep.
But what would you say is a good gauge just to get women on the right track of, you know, where they should be?
Yeah. So I think it really depends. Like I love the 1.2 for women who are used to eating protein, like you and I. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I strove for too. But for a lot of women, that's like way too much. Like how the heck do I eat that much protein? So I usually start for like a woman wanting to build muscle or even lose weight, because we want to focus on keeping our muscle if we're losing weight. Mm-hmm. I usually start at about 0.8 grams per pound. But if they're a vegan or vegetarian, I usually lower to like 0.5 or 0.6. Just else they're living like highly protein shake based lifestyles, and I just don't want that for women. So kind of the 0.8 is kind of a good starting point. And then if you can get to the 1 or 1.1, that's really awesome too.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone out there that, or any signs to say that maybe you're over consuming protein?
I think it would have to, you have to look at like labs, you know, if you're looking at like elevated, like kidney function or anything. I think that would probably be like your first signal, because you can overeat protein. I never go above like 165 grams a day of protein for a woman. Mm-hmm. So that's also a sign too. If you're eating more than that, you should probably back down, because there is such thing as too much protein. Most women are never going to get too much protein, but there is such thing.
Yeah. And while we're on the protein and macro kind of topic, is there any guides, or can you talk a little bit about when you're boosting metabolism, you know, protein is obviously important, but then there's also carbs and fat. And so what is the guidance around how do I figure out if I should be eating more carbs, less carbs, more fat, less fat? Because I know different bodies can react differently to those macros.
Yes, it's obviously going to depend if you have like an underlying condition like PCOS or, you know, insulin resistance, then you should be eating less carbs. But if you don't know if you have any of those things, I mean, you have to kind of test and guess and try a ratio of carbs and fat, and how does your body do? Do you feel good?
Yeah.
Great. Do you get results? Great. If you don't, then tweak it. I don't like to have women go under 120 grams of carbs, just because we need that for healthy ovulation, brain function, all that kind of thing. So that would be like a bottom of the barrel, like even if you're dieting carbs, and then, you know, fill your rest in with protein and fat.
Okay. Love it. That's very, very helpful. So as we get older, I mean, even myself, like, you know, I've just had my third kid. And so I can obviously tell that my body's changing. And I especially get this a lot from our older clients at Burn Bootcamp that are just like, man, I hit 40 and it just weight stuck on me and it just got harder and harder to lose weight. And so let's talk about as you age, what is happening in our body and then how can we adjust our diet appropriately to continue to reach our goals?
Yeah. So a lot of times this is hormones, which we know we get older and our hormones, like I'm 30. And so like, I even noticed now at 30, it's different than when I was in my 20s. Like it's more challenging. Yeah. Like hormones start to change. We lose progesterone, we lose estrogen, and then we start sleeping worse, which in turn is a vicious cycle and messes up our hormones even more. And then we lose energy and we don't want to go to the gym. So like all these things start happening in our bodies. Mm-hmm. Now it doesn't mean we can't reach our goals. It just means that it's a little bit harder. So in terms of what we can do, definitely focus on that protein, which we've already kind of talked about, because we don't want to lose our muscle as we age, because we will if we don't focus on protein and muscle, you know, strength training workouts. This is when we start getting older. We do want to have a little bit more fat. I'm not saying go keto, but not, you know, try to focus on more of a higher, like a little bit higher fat or more of like a balanced carb, balanced fat, as opposed to like a little more carbs, a little less fat. Just because that does help. We get a little more sensitive to carbs as we age. So we still want to include them. Like I said, don't go no carbs, but just have a little bit more fat. And then kind of focus more on, you know, we should always be focusing on healthier, whole, you know, whole, less processed foods most of the time. But as we age, it does become more important to get your fiber, get less processed foods and less processed sugars. You know, obviously go and have a cookie once in a while, but our bodies will respond better to those things.
Got it. And when you say more fats, let's talk about some healthy fats that people should be incorporating into their diet, because obviously fat can mean a lot of things, especially in the world of keto. Like, are you talking bacon? Are you talking, you know? So let's talk, just maybe give me your favorite five healthy fats that people should incorporate in their diet.
Okay. So avocado, love avocados. I'm also a millennial, so of course I love avocados. But avocado, any kind of nuts or like nut butters, peanut butter, et cetera, et cetera. Coconut oil, and some people are like, oh, saturated fat. It's a super healthy fat. Eggs, same with that. Like obviously don't go eat five eggs a day because there is some cholesterol and stuff in there, but they're still, and they also have protein, so that's like pretty awesome.
Yeah. So that means whole eggs, guys, not egg whites. Whole eggs.
I mean, you could have some egg whites too if you need to get the protein, but eat the whole egg too because there's so much nutrition in the yolk, and I hate when women are not eating full eggs. And then also it's another oil, but olive oil. I mean, super healthy for your general cooking if you don't want a coconut flavor. Those are my top five.
This might be a myth, but does olive oil lose its nutritional facts when it's heated up? Like if you're cooking, you know, the bottom of the skillet has olive oil and then you saute and so it cooks. Like, is that still healthy or are you losing any benefits there?
You lose some, but like I wouldn't say that like you shouldn't not eat olive oil and not heat it up. Do you know what I mean? Like I think it's like
not enough to like eliminate it, but
yeah, you could use avocado oil because that has a higher smoke point, so if it burns, so you could do that instead. But I mean, it's not like don't eat olive oil if you're going to heat it. That's kind of silly.
Okay, so just to recap that, guys, as you're aging, you need to increase your fats a little bit more, maybe lower your carbs, seeing depending on how your body's responding, but then still keeping that protein you know, where it needs to be a little bit higher, and strength training. Strength training is a big one. You know, people think that as they get older that they shouldn't be strength training and they can just do cardio and walk. But that's when our bones really need that strength training. So I definitely encourage you to continue to do that or get started on a workout that
never too late.
Incorporates strength training. All right, so let's talk mental life. So we, you know, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, at Burn Bootcamp, it's not just about the workout. It's also about taking care of your mental health. And I truly believe that, you know, if you don't have it all together in between your ears, like it's going to stop you and prevent you from physically doing things, right? Manifestation is a real thing. And what you're believing in your mind is going to come true. That's why it's so important that your inputs are so positive and in the right direction versus negativity, or else that's what you're going to consume and that's what you're going to become. And so you talk about six mental blocks, right? So six mental blocks that keep women from losing weight. Let's talk about those and then what we can do to gradually get away from those blocks in our life.
Yeah. So the first one that I see, like pretty much in every single woman who starts a new diet, is doing things too quickly. They go from 0 to 100. They go from couch to like, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week. I'm going to meal plan every day. I'm going to eat no carbs. I'm going to give up all sugar, like all the things at once. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, they get frustrated. And when in a week they just can't do it all. And then they just stop. So it's like, dude, you don't have to overhaul this at once. I think it's really important to realize that, like, I tell this to all my clients, you can't mess this up. We're not doing a quick fix diet. This is a lifestyle. So you have to make it work for you, and you can't mess up a lifestyle. So if you just go slowly, maybe you're going to focus on more protein this week. And then maybe next week you're going to do veggies. And then the next week, maybe you're going to start working out. But you don't need to do it all at once. So that's kind of like the big thing that I see most women. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Baby steps. Like, it's okay. You don't have to do it at once. So that's number one. And the number two is kind of what we talked about. It's like that all or nothing thinking, like black and white. Like, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all. If I can't do my 1 hour workout, then I'm not going to do it all, even though I could do 30 minutes instead. You know, if I ate one slice of pizza, well, crap, I blew my diet. May as well eat five more. And it's like, and I see that so much, so often with women. And there is that gray area. Like, you could, okay, you had too much pizza, but you could just stop, give yourself grace and move on and choose healthy things at the next meal. Or you could get that 30-minute workout instead of an hour because that's all you have time for. So it's kind of like seeing your choices on a continuum, that there's like good, better, best, as opposed to good, bad, if that makes sense.
Makes total sense. I love that.
So that would be another one. And then another thing is seeking perfection, which kind of ties to all this. I see women want to be perfect at their diet or their fitness plan or like anything. They just want to do it perfectly. And when when you're doing that, you're really like missing out on life, because life doesn't happen in the perfection. Life happens when you get spontaneity, and like maybe it means like you blow your diet one day because your husband wants to go out for something and you get invited to that. And when you are being perfect, you don't get to experience life. So
again, like, what would you miss if you said no to your friends or your husband?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's about seeing this as a lifestyle and realizing that everything can fit within that. Maybe you'll reach your goals a little bit slower because you went out and lived your life, but will you be thinking about the calories you ate on your deathbed, or will you be thinking about the memories you made? So you kind of think about that. I think hating on our bodies is really a big mental block that women don't really understand, because when we're hating on ourselves and we're constantly having that negative input of, I hate my stomach, I hate my this, I hate my that, it's stress on our bodies. And like I mentioned earlier, stress slows down our metabolism. So our bodies are all connected. Our thoughts affect our chemical processes, affect our digestion, affect how our hormones are, affect our metabolism, everything. So if we're constantly going, I hate myself, I hate myself, our body hears that. And our body will be stressed and hold on to body fat. So we need to just accept our bodies as they are. And like, yes, I always say your body is a good body in the before picture and the after picture. But you have to realize that. And it's okay to want a before and after, but you have to know that they're the same body and they're both good and deserving of love throughout your journey.
Yeah. And I know that's hard. It's harder or it's easier said than done. And one tip I have, and I'm not sure if this is ever something that you've used, is if I do find myself kind of in that funk of, ugh, you know, I've been working hard and look at this and look at my belly, I try to stop in that moment and think, okay, but what's really good about my body? What can I appreciate? Yes. What can I just be grateful for? And I know this may sound like fluff to other people, but you actually have to do it. Like,
you do.
Don't just say you're going to do it. And don't just listen to me saying those words. Like, actually practice it. Next time you're hearing yourself say negative things, stop and think of three things that your body's done for you. And you shouldn't have to look that far, right? Like, you were able to wake up, get out of bed, and go to the gym, right? Or wake up and eat good food. And, you know, or maybe you had a baby, you know, you got to really think about what are the great things your body's done for you and how can I appreciate that? And then it's that brain, you're training your brain to think positively. Like you said, if you hate your body, your body's going to listen to you and it's going to hold on to that fat. So it's not just something to say do, like you actually have to do it.
Yeah, you can't just like beat up your body and expect it to work with you. Like, that's not how life works. And on that note, I use that with my clients all the time, like, to find good things. And I always say, like, post it in your mirror, because then you'll remember to see it, because we're looking at ourselves in the mirror. So that's kind of like a good little like reminder. And the last two are resisting the process. I see so many women want to change. And yes, like, reaching our goals, it does require some change. It just does. But they resist the process. They just like fight against the whole thing, and they don't really just start to enjoy the process of reaching their goals. And when you're resisting it all the time, it's going to make it harder because it's not enjoyable. You're going to make yourself stressed, which, like we talked about a million times, is going to just negate all the good things you're doing. So just start to enjoy the journey. Maybe the scale isn't moving the way you want it to. You can't control how much muscle you gain. It's super slow. It's annoying. But you just can enjoy the process. Just it's fine. You'll get to your goals when you get to your goals. There's literally no time frame. And I think the women that have the most struggle are the women that give themselves time frames. Like, I have to lose 10 pounds in the next month, which is like not even possible. But, you know, in a healthy way. So, like, I just think it's really important to not give yourself time frames and just allow things to happen and be grateful for when they do happen, as opposed to resisting it and just enjoy the journey. I know it's so cliche, but it is truly a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah. And I think when I do hear like those time frames people put on each other, it's typically a vacation. You're going to be in a bathing suit or a wedding, or you're going to see somebody. And I think that ties back into loving your body, right? And kind of owning that too, of like, hey, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm still going to love the version of my body that we're in right now. And I'm still going to wear that bikini or that bathing suit and shorts or whatever in your mind you're trying to like lose that weight for. Try to reframe it, you know, and love your body that you can still feel and act confident the same way you would if you had lost that weight.
Yep. Fully agree. I agree. I always say, like, imagine it's going to take a year longer than you think it's going to lose your weight, because then you'll just be happy if it's faster. So just imagine that.
Low expectations, high reward.
Exactly. Set the bar low. And then the last one is shooting on yourself. I think so many women, like, I should do this. I should go to the gym 5 days a week. I should do cardio all the time. I should eat more protein. And like, these are things that are healthy, but when we should, like, their shoulds, they become almost like these rules, and they can become just feeling so restrictive. And then we don't want to do them, because who likes to put rules on themselves? Like, no one does. So if you start to just like choose that, also like that you can do them, like kind of like you said, your body can get out of bed. I can go to the gym. That's pretty awesome that my body allows me to do that. I can, you know, eat healthy food because my income allows me to do that. Like, whatever. If you start to see these as cans, it becomes so much more empowering. And then you actually want to do things that feel empowering as opposed to things that just feel like a bunch of rules.
That's awesome. That's great advice. All right. So we're going to wrap it up with one more question about something we've talked about just a little bit here, but that's sleep. So I always laugh a little bit because most of my audience is mothers, right? And women. And, you know, so sleep is obviously something I know myself is still a struggle because I have a 9-month-old and, you know, I have three babies. So as much as I want to get good sleep, sometimes I don't have that option because I'm caring for three tiny human beings. So I always, you know, say this with a grain of salt, but I also know how important sleep is. And so I know that there are some things in my control to get better sleep. But let's talk about why it's so important that we get good sleep.
Yes. So sleep, obviously, just for like our overall energy. I mean, we all know that we don't feel good when we don't sleep. But for hormonal balance, if we don't sleep, our women's hormones, which are really sensitive to sleep and stress, our body gets stressed when we don't sleep, which we've talked about the negative side effects of stress, and they're all interconnected. Our hormones will get out of whack. We won't have energy. We won't be able to grow muscle. It'll make losing weight a lot harder because of all the hormonal stuff that happens with sleep. We're just not going to feel great. So sleep is really important. It messes up with like our hunger and fullness. So we're going to be more hungry, less full. So those are kind of like the main key reasons why we need to sleep if we can. Obviously, some of us are moms and can't, but those are the main important reasons.
Yeah. And let's talk about some of those things in your control. So I know for me, it's like trying to shut down and wind down and shut down the electronics, because I know how stimulating that can be. So what are some tips that you give your clients that, you know, really need to focus on sleep outside of just actually sleeping? What are some other things we can do to really prepare our body to get good sleep?
Yeah. So definitely, like you said, like, I love when I can get women to have like almost like an evening routine where they turn off their screens like an hour before bed, which is very hard in our like our phone lifestyle. But like an hour before bed, like if you can like dim the lights a little bit, like almost like create that circadian rhythm, like the sun is setting, low lights, less screens, maybe just like read an actual paper book or a concept. Just kind of have like, you know, just have that kind of thing. It's really helpful. Having like blue light glasses if you have to do screens at night, which sometimes like I have to work late at night, you know, then I put some blue light glasses on. They're super unsexy, but they do help with sleep. I do find taking like a time released melatonin. I don't find for me that like a regular one works, but time release, it's like it releases in your body throughout the night. That helps a lot. And then the last thing that helps almost all my clients, and I get most of them to do, is actually carbs before bed. And I know most of them are like, oh my gosh, carbs after seven. Like, yes, like carbs actually help us sleep. I'm not saying go eat a bunch of like chocolate cake, but bad a little carbs, bit of like, right. Yeah, like so have some strawberries or like something. This can actually really help the hormones that increase your sleep, and you can sleep really well.
Mm, and you won't gain body fat by doing that.
No, you will be just fine.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think that tip alone might help a lot of women get some better sleep, because we've probably been avoiding carbs at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we are going to wrap up here. Can you tell our listeners where they can find more information about you?
Yeah. So you can find information about working with me or just my philosophy on everything on Instagram. It's taylorkaiser.com. And then I also have a food blog with a bunch of healthy recipes, and that's foodfaithfitness.com.
Awesome. So yeah, guys, we'll make sure to link those. Make sure that you're following her. Also, I'd love if you could subscribe and review the podcast. As you guys know, that positive feedback loop continues to give me just some great ideas on how I can continue to serve you as my audience. And if you guys have questions, please follow me on Instagram, morgan.a.klein. I'm on there very actively. But Taylor, thank you so much for joining us today. This was incredibly informative. And I know that our audience will really get some great takeaways on, you know, really how to live a healthy lifestyle. So I love it. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of coffee and kettlebells with me today. To find a recap of today's show, be sure to check out the Burn Bootcamp blog. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells. And follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.klein. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast, or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store, and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of coffee and kettlebells.